This is the United States Eventing Association's official podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 231. I'm Chris Stafford, and this week my guests are fresh from the Land Rover Kentucky three-day event. We'll be hearing from the new U.S. Equestrian Federation's national champion, Boyd Martin, who finished second, riding Christine Turner's Setterleg. And making her debut at the Land Rover Kentucky three-day event was Ariel Grald. Ariel was riding the 10-year-old Irish gelding Lemoore Masterplan, and they finished in 12th place. I caught up with Ariel after she had arrived home in Southern Pines and began by asking her for her reaction to her performance this weekend.
It's a little bit surreal. It was definitely a whirlwind week, but I tried to take a deep breath and enjoy it as it went along, and I'm really, really thrilled with how my horse went.
Well, a wonderful performance for you, a great weekend competition all in all. Give us an overview of your impressions when you were traveling home, Ariel, this weekend. You know, what was going through your mind? What were your biggest takeaways and your impressions of being at your first four-star there?
I think one of the biggest things I took away from the weekend was sort of how to handle the pressure mentally, both for me and the horse. Obviously, there's a lot of expectations, and you, as you know, as a rider, I wanted to, you know, do well and put in a good performance, and you know, knowing that all those people are watching, and I put a lot of pressure on myself. So I just, you know, through the whole week, and I was just trying to stay level-headed and not get you know, too wound up about it, and so sort of decompressing all of that on the drive home, and I learned that my horse can handle it. He's a young horse, and you know, that amount of atmosphere, you know, is a lot for a horse to take in, and I felt like he handled it really, really well. So I think I learned from the weekend that we're both pretty mentally tough.
Right, I was going to say, the mental game is just as important, isn't it? How do you normally mm-hmm. handle the nerves and the anticipation of a big event?
I usually don't get too nervous. I mean, I have to use, as riders, you know, we're all confident in our preparation leading up to the event. So at that point, you know, I just have faith in the fact that I've, you know, done all my training and homework, and that we're as prepared as we can be. And I, you know, I'm a pretty laid back person, so usually the nerves don't bother me too much. It's more sort of performance anxiety because I'm competitive. So I think overall I was able to stay pretty calm.
In terms of the whole event, you know, that big event atmosphere and competing with some of the best riders in the world there, were there any surprises for you? Anything that you, like, I didn't expect this, or I, you know, didn't see this coming? Were there any sort of moments when you thought, oh gosh, this is different?
I think one of the things is watching, you know, everybody's preparation and everybody, all the different riders do different things to get their horses ready. And, you know, it's always just interesting watching that, in the sense that, you know, some people really school their horses on the flatter lot, or, you know, everybody was kind of jump schooling their horses Sunday morning. And I thought, oh, I don't usually do that with my horse. And, I stuck to the plan and didn't, and he jumped great. And, you know, so I think just, you know, you kind of have to stay to your own routine. And as far as things that surprised me, I don't know, it was all, I guess, having not been there before, it was all a new experience. So I think it just kind of was all just a bit different, but you know, it's different than any other event because of all the atmosphere and all the people. And, you know, at the beginning of the week, we had a riders meeting and they were talking about all the press and, you know, there were kind of lots of different things that were brought up in the meeting, logistics, I guess, that I had not ever thought about because I've never been to an event that is this big. So that, you know, sort of some of those more practical things were a little bit different.
Yeah, it adds extra layers, doesn't it, to the competition. You know, as you mentioned there, the media attention, you've got the biggest media attendance of an event in this country, and you've got the atmosphere of the big crowds, and especially, of course, on cross-country, and not least of all in the stadium as well, but also on cross-country would be new to him. But let's talk about the actual performance, Ariel. Let's go through with your dressage, because you've been in the 30s now with him. How did that compare in terms of the rideability in that arena for him?
I was actually a little worried that he can get a little anxious in the dressage. He's a good mover. He's a big horse, but he can get a little tense. And for the most part, I think he actually stayed with me quite well. He got a little fussy with his tongue, which is something he hasn't done in the arena in the past. So that was a bit unfortunate, because I think he could have scored better. So had some deductions from those, but when I cantered down into the arena, I was just trying to get him to stay with me and stay focused. And I think he did that. So overall with the test, I have to be pleased with him, because he could have gotten really nervous and, looking up at the people and that, and he didn't do that.
So you came out of that with what were your lessons from that test?
I think I still need to keep working on riding him more forward in the arena. Again, he being a little bit bigger, sometimes he kind of goes down center line and sucks back a little, and got to keep working on just keeping his, keeping the impulsion, keeping him in front of my leg. But I think my warm up and how I rode him around the ring worked, just sort of keeping him stretched and loose and relaxed. And then just, I had ridden through the test and practiced it a little bit, but obviously riding it in that crowd and that atmosphere and that big stadium is a little different. So I think just more experience for both of us will help, help us both be more confident, and obviously trying to always improve the accuracy of the test and not leave any points behind.
Well, now you've had a few days to sort of settle the nerve, the anticipation, the performance, and think about it and reflect on the cross country. Of course, Bobby Costello being your trainer, you would have walked that before and after your dressage, no doubt. And what were your expectations realistically, Errol, going into the cross country on Saturday?
So my horse he's a good galloper, and he loves to run and jump. So I felt good about his fitness, but obviously we did two CCI 4-stars last year, and this being a 5-star, there's that extra minute plus and the added terrain that we hadn't encountered before. So I felt pretty confident that he was fit enough, but at the same time, you never know how that extra minute and the bigger jumps and more technical questions were going to, if that was going to cause some fatigue for him. But it did not. He was raring to go at the end. Still, I put my leg on after the last water to have a little gallop, and he just went flying off. So I think he handled it all really well.
And your biggest takeaway then, I mean, apart from you had a little interesting moment with the flag, didn't you?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a sketchy moment at the second water. I think that was one of the places he got a little distracted. The roping was quite tight there, and there were a lot of people, and he just took an extra second to lock onto the skinny, and he left a little bit long to it. And I kind of had, kicked my feet out in front of me, sat a little bit behind him to just kind of hold him in there, and I kicked the flag with my foot, but it got stuck.
Yes.
And I carried it with me through the rest of the combination. It was in between my knee and the saddle. But goodness, he was a good boy, because it was flopping all around. And I've, of course, watched the videos now, and it was whacking him. And he just stayed right on the line, stayed right between all the flags. And he was such a good boy.
It looked pretty frightening in the moment, because we couldn't tell how close it was to him. It looked like it was hitting him, and as you carried it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it did.
Yeah, poor boy.
Guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I know. He was amazing. He was amazing.
And in terms of the time, you're a little bit over the time, but was that what you were expecting? I mean, you just kept the pace that you had planned on?
Yeah, I obviously just wanted to jump clear. That was kind of my first, that was step one, jump around clear. And I was always planning to take the slightly longer route at the Normandy bank. But I didn't think that was going to wait, you know, that was only going to waste a few seconds. I started off, you know, he started off galloping really strong, and he gets a bit strong. So I kind of had to take my time a few places to really get him back before the combination to make sure we had the right balance and stride length and all of that. So I think in the future, he will definitely be one to make the time, because he had plenty of energy throughout the course and lots of gallop left at the end that I think, you know, as he becomes, you know, as we've gained experience at this level, and I think I'll be able to even press him a little bit faster and not have to rate him back quite so much at some of those combinations.
And how did he finish? How was he overnight?
Oh, he was good. He doesn't really like to stand in the vet box. So he was just walking around, and he, you know, perked right up again. So he definitely, you know, obviously they're tired. It's a long course and they jumped a lot of jumps, but he rebounds really well. And, you know, he just likes to go back and graze and hang out.
And how did he feel on Sunday? You said you didn't follow some of the other riders and jump in the morning, but how did you feel going into the show jumping?
Felt good. I always have to do a little bit extra flat work with him. It's not so much about the jumping, because he's a good, careful jumper. I have to spend my time on the flat so that he settles, and because he felt very good in the morning. And then obviously with the horses and the crowd, he gets pretty amped up. So there was some bucking and squealing in the warm up, and I really just had to spend my extra time stretching him and doing transitions and, you know, kind of going back to those flat work basics so that I had as much rideability, in the arena as possible.
And of course you had the rail, and you were just a little over the time, 2 seconds over the time, but in terms of the experience of it, how did it feel for you?
Obviously the rail was disappointing, because I think he just barely ticked it. He's usually clear, in the show jumping, but I couldn't be happier with how he felt in the ring. You know, he jumped well. I felt like he was using himself and making a good shape over the fences, and, you know, he can get a little bit strong in a big stride. So the two time faults were a little disappointing as well, but you know, I had to just take my time in one turn to just make sure I kind of had him back with me. So overall, I think he went in there and, you know, did his job, jumped the jumps, stayed focused. And, you know, we both, I think, gained some very positive mileage, from that course. So I couldn't be happier with him.
So if you were to write a journal entry about this year's Kentucky event, your first Land Rover Kentucky 3-day event, Ariel, how would it read?
I think overall, you know, I've learned a lot. I'm very happy with it, but it, you know, gives me a good foundation to build going forward. So I've had a little bit of time to process it, and we'll continue to analyze what we can do better. It needs to be, you know, stronger for the dressage, and you know, continuing to work on rideability in the jumping phases. So I think I've got a list of homework items to work on, and that will, as we chip away at those, we'll come back even better for the next time.
Well, I'm sure he's enjoying some downtime and out in the paddock.
Yes, he is.
Now. And is it too soon to look ahead to what you might do with him when he's back in work and looking far into the full season?
I have some ideas. Of course, I'm a planner, so I've always got my next few ideas. I would really love to take him to Europe. So I've got to sit down and have some meetings with my owner Annie Eldridge and the coaches, and we'll figure out where that might be. But a trip abroad would be really, really fun.
Do you have an event in mind? Have you been to Europe to compete or at least spectate?
I have not. I've been to England and Ireland to look at some horses, but I haven't been to any of those events. So would love to go to Blenheim, and maybe do a couple horse trials over there leading up to it. We'll see.
Well, they do have a few nice events over there for you too.
Yes.
Have a run at.
Just a few to choose from.
Exactly.
But that's, no, there's so much to learn from eventing over there that that would be a really incredible opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, obviously, this was a great performance to have under your belt with him, Ariel. So again, congratulations on your debut, Land Rover Kentucky 3 event, 12th place. And the very best of luck with him in the future. And thanks for taking the time to come on the program.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Boyd Martin is no stranger to Kentucky, of course, but this year his performance was something he was particularly pleased with, given the record that he's had with Christine Turner's 13-year-old gelding Zetterleg. As Boyd explains, they had a lot to learn from their performance at the World Equestrian Games in Tryon last year. And coming into this year's event, their preparation on paper, at least, looked really sound. So to win the United States Equestrian Federation's national championship title and finished second showed the progress that he's made with this partnership. Boyd, thank you for joining me. Congratulations on a fantastic result.
Thanks, Chris. It was a good weekend.
I thought you rode him beautifully, fantastic lines, your great cross-country round, and you're on Sunday finishing it off with a very polished performance. Talk us through it now, because you've been in the 20s with his dressage for a while now. How did you feel about his prep coming into Kentucky?
Let's see, the preparation really started last year, because his last event last year was the Weg, which was a flop. It was pretty disappointing, so I basically got him home and rested him for about a month and then gently brought him back in. And so I had sort of, let's see, all of October, November, December, which is actually a long time compared to usual, to just take a deep breath and go back to basics with him. And really, like last year was such a rush and a stress, and he was a bit too green and I didn't know him that well. And so it was good late last year of actually not having any pressure of competing him. And just sort of going back to get to really know him and build up a bit more of a partnership with him. And then, yeah, this year's preparation was a bit ragged. I sort of broke my collarbone early on and then hurt my back at Red Hills. And then, so I did a couple of intermediates early on. And then I just started feeling really good at the Fork, which was about a month before Kentucky. And he gave me a really, really good round there. He won the four-star short there, and he felt really strong in all three phases. So from that point on, I knew I was in with a good shot.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm looking at, Boyd, you know, that final lead-up. But it's interesting you brought up last year, because I was going to ask you, you know, when you come off a season with any partnership, you look at what you need to work on next. So what were your biggest takeaways then from Weg that you did need to work on if you were going to get him to Kentucky?
Well, the positive, I suppose, was that he surprised me actually at the Weg and put in just a sensational dressage test. And I thought, righto, well, we can produce that again. So if I can do that at the big ones, he's going to be right up there with the leaders. And then obviously the cross country's always been good, but we've sort of got away with a bit over the first year or two with him, you know, like where it's on paper it's been good, but it, you know, he's had a couple of spooky fences and a couple of near misses, and you know, and it looked all right on paper, and then unfortunately it really showed up there at Weg. So, I mean, in a weird kind of way, it was a blessing in disguise. I mean, Weg, I didn't ride him very well at all. And it was mostly at that jump, you know. I came in backwards and trying to add to a jump, and he was spooking at the same time. And so that was the biggest take, you know, is you can't be pulling back to big jumps and expect the horse to jump well. You know, it's, you know, the old rule of forward positive riding is the best. And so that was the biggest thing I sort of learnt. And then the show jumping, he's a bloody awkward jumper. Like he's not one of those that comes to the jump and pounces and swishes his tail behind. He's nervous about people standing near the jumps, and he's a little bit distracted. And so biggest thing jumping wise is trying to get him confident and slowing down through the combinations. And the biggest thing is actually not jumping him too big. Like some other horses, you want to jump a big fence and maybe get a rubber or a bump in the warm up, and he's the opposite. That just upsets him. So just, I probably, the biggest jump I probably jumped in the lead up, in our training and the final warm up, it was probably a preliminary size show jump. So it was, it's very unusual horse to ride. And then you sort of just got to bank on him getting in the ring and spooking a little bit, and then trying just that little bit harder. And then also you just got to have to give him just the perfect ride to get a clear round. You can't have him too deep. You can't have him too long. You've got to have the right canter. So it's a, that's the part where you've got to be spot on in the show jumping.
Talk about his dressage, though. As I said, you've been in the 20s now, latterly with him. Produced a very nice test. How did you feel about it? What were, in terms of his preparation and what you took out of it?
I mean, I'm very lucky. Like, marrying a German dressage rider is a huge advantage. I'm obviously silver schooling him a lot, and then also, you know, she's probably had a lot more input this year. Like, you know, when it's a championship year, you have the team coaches and the yada yada yada, and then this year we kicked off all the lists, so it was just, I mean, Eric was helping, don't get me wrong, but it was just back to the old days of just me and Silver hard at it. And we actually brought in a judge a lot this year, Peter Gray, in Florida, and he was really good because he's more than a judge. He's a trainer, like a good rider himself. So four times in our preparation, we had Peter come. We warmed up a bit, then went through the test. Peter said, you know, gave us feedback of what he's looking for. And then also he had his input onto the training and stuff like that. So that was pretty cool. And I did think that helped. In regard to the test in Kentucky, like, it could have been better. Like, it was still not quite through and a little bit spooky, and I'm sort of holding him a bit. But, I mean, I should be happy with it because it's about where we're at the moment. But there's still one more gear there for sure. Like, I think next year he'd win it. You know, like, he's still just got to let go just a little bit more and be a little bit more precise in all the details. So it's pretty exciting, though, because he's still young and he's very, very sound for an upper-level horse. So I think we've got many years of just gently chipping away at that. So it's pretty good.
So talk us through your cross-country, Boyd, because that was beautiful to watch. Very economical, very efficient. It really was lovely to watch. You know, I thought you rode him beautifully. How did it feel?
I mean, I don't want to say it, but it felt pretty easy for him. You know, easy for him. You know, like, it was a tough enough course, and you know, I had the luxury of just sitting back in the tent there and watching the trouble go by, and obviously the jump that was causing the most trouble was that up bank to the corner, and no one was doing it. And I don't know, for some reason I just knew my horse had jumped that well, and so I was going around the course and he was travelling really, really well, and I was up on my time a bit. Like, I could have gone the long way there, but I come up that hill and thought, well, Philip did it, I'm going to do it, and he did it beautifully. Like, he just popped up there and popped in a couple of strides and hopped over the corner and away we went. So, yeah, he gave me a great round, and he's only about half thoroughbred if you work out all these percentages. But he's an incredible galloper. Like, he's just got a big step. We have him very, very fit. And, yeah, as long as you keep him on his feet and sort of, you know, give him that forward ride and try not to fight with his mouth too much. And then obviously keep those nice tight lines toward the jump so you're not wasting any time. Yeah, like, I think he's 12 seconds under the time, and that was with one long way too. So, yeah, he could have gone for another minute or two and had a tighter time. So I was really, really pleased with that. And he came through it good too. Like, we only iced him once and wrapped him up and let him have a good night's sleep.
And how did it compare as a course? Because we've heard all kinds of feedback from Derek's course this year. How would you compare it to last year, Boyd?
Well, I mean, it walked easier, I thought. But then watching it rode a little bit harder. And then when I rode it, it was, I don't know, I felt like it was harder last year just because probably, it was a greener horse and it was his first four-star. And then this year he had so much more mileage under his belt. And it felt much more comfortable for him. So he was a better horse. I rode him better. And I think the course was slightly easier.
So your takeaways then from this event in terms of where this horse now has to go, what you need to work on, how would you summarise it?
To be honest, the horse is, he's a great little horse. And I'm the first to admit that I'd never pick him out. You know, like when he turned up, I honestly didn't give him much time or thought. You know, he turned up and he's a scruffy little pony. And, you know, like I said, with the jumping, he doesn't give you this wow feeling. And he at home, he tries, but he doesn't give you that much. And then, he's a very, very sound horse. Like, he didn't need any vet work in the lead-up for this event. And he come out of it real fresh. So I think he's going to be around for a couple of years more, you know, 3, 4, 5 years more. And all we got to do is just improve, just shave off a couple of marks here and there. We've got to get the show jumping a bit better, work on about probably got 5 more points on him in the dressage. And then obviously he's really clicked in the cross country. So it's exciting. It's very exciting because he's in the past, I've had a lot of these sort of Neville Bardos, Steady Eddies, where you 15th place after the dressage and then you're just praying for a tough course to, you know, you're catching up to the leaders. And this horse is a bit different. He's up with the leaders after the first phase, and then we've got him, so he stays there. So it's very, very exciting to have him in the barn.
Is it too soon to look ahead to what the rest of the year might look like after he's had a break, Boyd?
Yeah, I mean, he's come through this pretty well, so I mean, if it was up to me, I'd like to take him to Burley. And then the other alternative is maybe it's a chance to go to the Pan Ams. I'm not sure. I haven't really talked to anyone what sort of horses they're going to take to the Pan Ams. You know, like if they're going to take younger ones or seasoned veterans, which I think he's probably under that banner now. So I'd obviously like to go to the Pan Ams, but he just felt like he did Kentucky so easy that he'd be a good chance at Burley too. So either or who knows, something else, Poe, I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, lots of great options for a bright future ahead with this partnership, Boyd. Again, congratulations, a fantastic result for you. I think that you're best placed at Kentucky for sure, and of course in a 4-star to get that under your belt must be very encouraging. So congratulations again and good luck with this partnership. We'll be following you, Boyd.
All right. Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
And before I go this week, I want to mention for those of you who have not remembered, it is the 60th anniversary that we will be celebrating at the annual convention, a meeting at the end of the year. So we're going to begin our build up to those celebrations in December by talking to the past presidents of the USEA, which we'll start next month in May on every other episode. And also, I'll be chatting to Jimmy Wofford about the history of eventing in this country. So lots to look forward to as we look back on the past 60 years of the United States Eventing Association. So do join me again on the USEA website or on your podcast app. Just look for US Eventing. And be sure, of course, to follow us on social media to find out when the next episode drops. That's in 2 weeks' time. Until then, thank you for listening wherever you are in the world, and enjoy your eventing.